The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor, brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be looking at customer complaint behaviour and in particular the role of self-service technology. And my guest is Thomas McAlinden, Chartered Marketer. Thomas, welcome back. Can we start with thinking about the notion of service failure? What do we mean by that?
Okay, no problem. Thanks very much for getting me back. Service failure is something that is just always going to happen. Now, I suppose it harks back to, it's an old quote I remember reading many, many years ago, but it still resonates with me, and it's when I speak to service providers, it's something to try and highlight to them, that just service failure is inevitable. It's not a case of kind of if it will happen, it's just a case of when. And service failures happen all the time, from whether it's rail services being impacted by power failure, leading to trains not running, or perhaps my beloved Celtic Football Club, when they had a lots of different ticket issues when they were playing a Europa League tie against a team called Jablonec, where people weren't allowed to actually get into the stadium to watch the football because there was been issues. These things happen, and they will always happen, and it's important, I suppose, as marketers and service marketers, that we recognise that. I suppose it then goes on to us making sure we think about, yes, it will happen. What can we do to try and mitigate things when these things do happen, i.e. scenario planning and service recovery?
Okay, so scenario planning is guessing the sort of things that might go wrong and sort of mitigating the risks of them. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So, as I say, it's not a case of being of having the kind of lottery numbers, as it were. But if it's always that what if, for instance, the ticket issue at Celtic Park happened, how would we still get people within the game and everything else? Because, as I say, service failure will happen. It's just about how we then deal with it. And that service failure can occur from whether that's employees, the company's fault. It can actually come from the customer themselves. And or indeed, it could even be things with technology, perhaps, if we've integrated any of these as part of our service delivery.
You're saying accept the fact that service delivery failures will happen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as part of that, customers are going to complain. I can't imagine what it's like if you've come to see your favourite football team and you can't get into the grounds. That must be quite an interesting scenario to be dealing with.
Yeah, because it's service failure is just a flaw. And when we get our head wrapped around that, we then understand when this service failure occurs, that ultimately means that service that we're trying to be part of is really falling below our expectations. And ultimately what we know from that as marketers is that can then lead on to really kind of customer dissatisfaction, people being unhappy. And you're right in what you're saying, that when we're unhappy, we tend to perhaps then voice our unhappiness, and we can then complain. And it's about then understanding that type, what will kind of motivate people to complain, but also even with that, the different types of complainers, as it were, because there will be people that will be a lot more vocal, and there'll be people that perhaps, as I say, my wife, that might be kind of just sit and suffer in silence, that will accept the service failure. But then we need to think about what would then happen moving forward. And what I mean by that is different things like future purchase intention, repatronage, or indeed ultimately leading on to customer defection.
Yes. So is one of the things we have to do to encourage people like your wife to complain so that we understand what the problem is? Or do we just accept that actually if something, there's been a service failure, people have a legitimate right to complain?
I think it's imperative that an organisation makes the routes for complaints to be received and heard, because as I say, the only reason I mention that is I was out, I think it was last weekend, and we were out at a restaurant. I won't name the restaurant, but we were out at a restaurant, and the fries and the burger that came to us was cold. We were in a rush anyway because we were going to go and watch a new movie that was being released. And myself, being quite a vocal complainer, wanted to then bring that up. But my wife said, no, just hurry up and eat. So you've eaten something and then we can go. Now, that, I suppose, is it means that we were then able to quickly leave. We won't be revisiting that restaurant again. But what that then does, if we look at it from a business perspective, is that what that action has done is not allowed that company to get a second bite at the cherry, as it were, a chance to redeem themselves, because that cold fries and cold burger, or lukewarm, whatever it may be, isn't perhaps the standards that they've set. And they want to make sure that I return and continue to return, because over time I become a lot more profitable for them. And as I say, from now until the day I die. So to answer your question, yes, we should be making sure that we have mechanisms in place to allow the ability of any customer who deems to have been wronged, as it were, or has a legitimate complaint, to make their voices heard, so swift action can then be taking place.
Now, you used an interesting word there, because you said legitimate complaint, which implies yes, there are illegitimate complaints.
There are always some customers who perhaps try to take advantage of the service recovery aspects by organisations. And what I mean by that is companies, when they undertake service recovery activities, it tends to form, in the majority of cases, to be some form of compensation. And when a customer has a legitimate complaint, i.e. their food's turned up cold or they've been delayed for some other reason that's obviously not their fault, then fair enough, they should be compensated. But there are other individuals that perhaps decide to capitalise upon that and fabricate complaints to try and then get the benefits from them, whether that's a free meal, whether that is, an upgrade or so on and so forth. There are illegitimate customer complaints that happen all the time.
And how, as a marketer, should one handle those?
And it's tricky, that, because you can't come out and just say, I know you're lying. It's not to say that the customer is always right. Now, there was a really kind of interesting article I read, funnily enough, the other day, and it was published in 2020 by Kim and Baker, and it's actually entitled "The Customer Isn't Always Right: The Implications of Illegitimate Complaints." And what we, I suppose, need to understand from an organisation's perspective is draw upon all this research that's been done, so we've got a greater understanding of it. But that not only are you as a business going to suffer from illegitimate complaints, but what we also know from customers and people in general is that they tend to talk and share what's happened. And even though that someone has had an illegitimate complaint and should they have benefited from that, I suppose the argument is, what's to stop them from telling other people who then may enact that same type of devious behaviour, as it were? Mm-hmm. But what we also need to bear in mind is, if there's an illegitimate complaint, which is really covered within that Kim and Baker article, which is really interesting, was with regards to what impact does that then have on other patrons or other customers that perhaps even witness this? Because if they see this happening and that somebody is perhaps lying and they're getting a benefit, and the person sitting there that hasn't complained isn't getting a discounted meal or a free meal or whatever it is, it can actually make them become really annoyed, and then could potentially impact them from even coming back and visiting. So that's the kind of customer perspective.
So how does a business deal with that? If there's a sort of contagion issue going on here, isn't there? So I see somebody at the table next to me inventing a complaint. I then feel annoyed, not with the customer, but apparently with the restaurant, say, who's trying to put it right.
Yeah, there's a little bit of both. As I say, this is when it comes back down to understanding the different types of customers as well, because there will be perhaps people like myself. It's not to say that I like an argument or two, but if I seen something like that happening, I would probably alert the management staff and employees, actually, I heard everything that was going on, or whatever it might be.
Okay, so one of the interesting things that we've talked about before was self-service technology and the role that that can have in complaints. So let's start with, what is self-service technology?
Okay, self-service technology is, again, there are different definitions of it, and something I would encourage your listeners to go and kind of read is a guy called Ryan Buell, who's a professor of business administration, that writes extensively on it. And from his writing, as well as others, like the definition by Muter et al., talks about SSTs being, and I'll quote here, technological interfaces that enable customers to produce a service independent of direct service employee involvement. Ultimately, we talk about trying to remove the kind of employee with regards to the service delivery, as it were. And I suppose to illustrate that to your listeners, etc., is perhaps they go grocery shopping. You talk about Asda have introduced self-service technology with not only the scanning that you do and the bagging as well, even the scan and go. Or indeed, if you talk about McDonald's with their order screen that you can do when you go in store, rather than actually having to deal with or give your order to someone, you can do it all on a screen and pay for it. And or indeed, I suppose it's picking back up now, but with regards to travel and checking in, with regards to the little terminals that you see, rather than, again, having to deal with anyone. So talking about the kind of removal, as it were, or the direct interface with an employee.
So how do company? I can see that companies could use that to reduce the cost of the employees. And in fact, to be honest, I thought that's what they were mainly used for. But you've suggested there's something that can actually help with the complaining side or the service failure side.
Yeah, so you're exactly right with regards to the benefits. Now, if we use SSTs, we can reduce labour costs, perhaps. But also, we also need to understand possible error. So you talk about some complaints can be derived from, let's say I went to a burger establishment and I said I wanted this burger with no lettuce on it, and I ultimately receive a burger that's got lettuce on it, then ultimately that I'm not happy because I've told someone that that is there. But by incorporating the SST, as it were, or indeed these screens, we're removing that employee. So it's not to say that we're not taking part in anything that's happened, but let's say that the customer hasn't removed it themselves. In essence, it becomes their problem, and it's something that they're less willing to then complain about. Now, don't get me wrong, if you were to then say to the burger establishment, listen, I forgot to take lettuce off and I really don't like lettuce, they will probably give you a new one anyway. Just to try and keep you happy, because again, everything that we know from it, trying to make customers happy and delighted will hopefully see them keep coming back again and again and again. And something as small as that would then happen. And again, I don't know what these things cost to make, but I imagine it's small in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. But it's also, and I would with regards to the ownership that someone feels, especially if they're using self-service technology. And I can't remember the name of the article, but there was a couple of authors, and again, I'm probably doing their surname a disservice, but I'm sure it was Coker and Palach, or Palach, in 2019, who said that when customers who are actively involved in the service delivery process, they react less sensitively to unsatisfying service outcomes than do customers who experience unsatisfyingly full service outcomes. And the reason being for that is quite simply that they've played a part in it. So they've played a role, as it were, in the service delivery. And should it be a service failure or an unsatisfactory service outcome, they've played a role in it. And it can also then lead them, as it were, to perhaps not complaining as much, or indeed talking about not being as vocal or as aggressive within their complaint, and also being more receptive to perhaps less of kind of compensation, less forms of compensation than perhaps those that have been really aggrieved by something that potentially we as a company or one of our employees has done.
I do find this quite interesting, because I know when I mean, so they got the unexpected item in the bagging area. I certainly feel that that's the machine's fault, not mine. But I suppose you're going to say that I don't feel part of the service delivery there.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's not to say that we don't then get annoyed. We sometimes do, and it's like these, excuse the language, but these bloody machines, right? but it means it lessens the kind of perhaps the anger, the probably aggressiveness in any complaint that you would have. It's quite simply you would turn around and say to the person, because they would always have someone there as well to deal with these, because like I've said, service failure is inevitable. IT doesn't work all the time. There are always issues with that, and same to do with regards to your bagging checkout areas. But it's about then how we then resolve them. But as I say, being part of the process, it can lessen customers' propensity, perhaps, to even complain, or indeed the severity in which they do then complain, i.e. being very vocal or even argumentative and angry, especially if they've been part of it.
Okay, I do think this is a really interesting side of self-service technology, because we are... I mean, as you said, one of the things is that it reduces your costs, but you're also pointing out that just because you've made it self-service, you still need to have people an ability to exit to a human in some way. So people standing by in a physical environment, or I suppose a way of raising a question in an online environment.
Yeah, because self-service technology sounds wonderful, and in some industries it can be. It can speed up service, that can delight us as kind of consumers and or customers, depending upon the nature of the business. But service as well, like you've said, can be emotional, and technology in itself can't be. Technology has no emotion, as it were, and therefore it is unable to fully understand your problems and your challenges. Therefore, having the ability of me being able to speak to somebody can then also help reduce any anxiety that I've got. But also what we need to bear in mind is that there's different instances where perhaps self-service technology might not be the best route. And this can be perhaps in service delivery where you've got really high anxiety settings, right? We talk about financial services where there's big risk with regards to your money, and healthcare perhaps, whereas we probably just can't rely on them using a robot for coronavirus. And again, reason I'll say that is many years ago before COVID hit, I was in New York in Times Square, and there was a robot there that was diagnosing people with COVID. Absolutely bizarre. But if I did have COVID and it came out to say that, yes, you've got COVID, then that anxiety might set in, and I've got no one else there to then talk to. So it's something to bear in mind, I suppose, the value of being able to actually connect with a real person. And this is why even when you're online with any kind of chat with a kind of robot, etc., and chatbots, if it's unable to answer and address all your questions, what do? They tend to put you through to one of their representatives, so they're able to listen to you, take on board exactly what you're saying, and or indeed how you're feeling, and come to a kind of resolution, as it were, and get your problem solved.
Yes, I think there's also an element of inclusion around this as well, isn't there? That you cannot assume that everyone is able to physically or mentally or even emotionally capable of dealing with self-service technology, and sometimes they do just need a human.
Yeah, and I would draw it, my gran would probably tell you that. And there's different theoretical concepts and models that are used and thought about trying to understand how consumers can adopt technology, like the technology acceptance model, etc., talking about perceived usefulness and ease of use, and hence why there's some arguments by some that the employees or the human touch should and perhaps will always remain, because there will be people that perhaps aren't comfortable with regards to the change in technology. And listen, technology is going to continue to evolve and change. And as I say, even though it's something I'm used to with different things just now, as I get older and perhaps maybe not as keeping in touch with technological advancements, I too perhaps may then start harking on like my gran does, to speak about some of the challenges that I might face. But the youngsters with regards to digital natives and those growing up with the technology and becoming used that are born into it and used to it, it becomes second nature. But I suppose just that point with regards to the value of being able to actually connect with a human is something that many customers really cherish, as it were, partly just because we talk about they have emotion and ability to understand emotion, whereas technology doesn't.
Thomas, that was absolutely great. And of course, it that also fits in with your argument at the beginning that there will be service failures. So even with self-service, there will still be failures, and having that access to human can be very helpful. Thomas McAlinden, that was a really interesting look at customer complaint behaviour and where self-service technology can fit in with that. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.